Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Probably Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Just before we start, a quick reminder, tomorrow Louis Christopher's on the DFA Live show. Very good property analyst, worth spending some time with him tomorrow, and you can ask him a question live. I'll put the links below. But tonight, of course, it's Monday and it's Edwin and his property rant. Hi Edwin, how are you going?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned, Martin. I'm a little bit concerned. Took Dusty to and Evan to get the second dose of the vaccine. Yeah, they're getting old. They're getting older by the day. They were 5 weeks not too long ago. Now they're due for the second vaccine. But I did choose not to go with the Sputnik V. I'm going with the AstraZeneca this week. Otherwise, Dusty just went crazy last when they got the Sputnik, the Russian vaccine last time.
Yeah, well, you're never quite sure what you're getting into, but those little they're full of mischief, right, at that age?
Look, they've got their own Twitter handle. They're putting stuff out there. I've got a sense of their page, I think, from time to time. Otherwise, Twitter's just going to ban their speech. You can't control this younger generation, Martin. You just can't control them.
No, these Gen Y, Gen Zs. What can you expect? But actually,
Gen cats.
Yeah, exactly right. But it is interesting because more broadly, there's a hell of a lot of noise and confusion around at the moment, isn't there? If you look at property in particular, people are just going all over the place.
Oh, look, as you and I've been speaking today, Martin, there is a lot of noise, and you just got to cut through in order to get to the duck's guts. Where the rubber meets the road. We're going to talk about, and we're going to talk expand a little bit more on what you your video earlier or late last week with regards to the psychology of auctions and the like. We're going to expand on that a little bit more to get a better understanding of all the noise that's out there, particularly in this charged environment on the day of the auction. But apart from that, it's rather also interesting what auctioneers are posting on Twitter and how they see things on the ground as well. And you've got to question what's going on. So when you start cutting through the noise and you start getting to the duck's guts or where the rubber meets the road, you get to have a better understanding, get a better handle on how to approach things moving forward. As I said, hold your ground, hold, because there are a few more weeks to play out before the government initiatives and incentives are rolled back, and one of them that is on everybody's lips is the JobKeeper. And I can tell you now, Martin, that there are a lot of real estate agents that are on JobKeeper.
Absolutely right. Well, I'm just getting confused between ducks' guts and rubber hitting the ducks. And...
It's just, Martin, my mind works in mysterious ways. It's just one of those things. Portuguese ancestry, Inca ancestry. I spent my infancy with my grandmother in the mountains of Ecuador. Came over here. We swam over here in the 1970s. When my father brought us over in the mid 70s, and grew up here in Australia. So I'm a confused little bunny.
Wouldn't have it any other way. And I must tell you that we get quite a lot of very positive correspondence about your interesting use of the English and Australian language. So that's all good.
I got to use Australiana. I got to use English. I got to use Latin. My stepmother's Italian. I mean, we're a mixed bunch. Meghan Markle seems to be a little bit confused. If she thinks she's confused, I'm way out there. Paul William. She'd say, poor my mum and dad with me around. It was hell. That's why I told me I was an angel, but they told me it was hell.
Well, let's start with, you went to an auction last Monday, right? And it was actually, we had to reschedule our recording because of it. Still very confused as to why on earth they decided to run it on a Monday evening.
It was. I was flabbergasted. There's another word, flabbergasted. It was rather peculiar. Being called in 4 days before the scheduled day of the auction, and before I left, I said it's a little bit suspicious. But interestingly enough, Martin, there were four parties there. Our client and myself were one party, and there were three others. Obviously we didn't win the property, nor did we need to go any higher than what we set the bar at anyway, given what we found out about the property and the inherent issues with the property that the building and pest report didn't reflect, or the agent's building and pest report didn't reflect. Now, that to the side, what was interesting was the winner was a Chinese family with very deep pockets, cashed up, with PR, permanent residency, with a family that had very strong support, local support. That was the winning bidder. Second place came in. I call the Bitcoin trader. Was cashing out coin, I'd say, and they were putting the money into residential property and securing their future wealth. Third was us. And the fourth was interesting. The fourth place getter there was what I call a professional bidder. He seemed to know his way around the property. He seemed to know the owners. He seemed to know what was, he was fixing things even before the actual auction had started. So he was the stooge. But the interesting thing was that the auction was brought forward. Now, with the fact that there was three genuine parties that were going to bid on a property, there were three genuine parties involved. Yeah, it was rather peculiar that they brought it forward. Then I saw a tweet by Damien Cooley put out on Twitter, and in his tweet he points out that he had 11 scheduled auctions for the Saturday, and on the day he found out that from the 11, eight had been sold prior to the auction. So I'd imagine my interpretation of his tweet was that he actually found out on the day. So it was, again, rather interesting that if there's a lot of interest, or if there's interest in property, why would you accept an offer prior to the auction? If nothing else, the only thing I could put my finger on the pulse on, Martin, was the fact that they could lose the interest because there's a lot more listings coming on. That's the only, my only answer to that. There may be other answers, there probably are other answers, and you may have a suggestion as well, but my suggested answer is that there's a bit of fear now by the agents. They don't feel that the interest is as hot as what it was in January, February, up to late February, and they're advising the owners to take a serious offer that's on the table, because they don't know whether the same offer is going to be on the table on the day.
Yeah, could well be. Well, you know the old proverb about a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right?
Yeah, well, so something like that, something to do with rabbits and guinea pigs. So,
But I think it's quite interesting, because I've had a few people in the industry say to me, gee, it's getting a bit quiet. It's not what we thought it was going to be, right? Because the expectation was that March would be sort of accelerating away. In fact, it seems to be going a bit the other way. And in fact, even listings numbers seem a bit down as well. So I wonder whether there is a bit of a change in the weather.
Well, look, Martin, it's what I did note last week. What I did note last week was that we had the most amount of new listings coming on the market from this week thus far. Now, that's on the freestanding homes, or the home listing numbers that are coming on the market. We almost got to 6,888, which was the lucky number that I was shooting for. But we actually got shy of that by, I think we got to 857. I think that's where we ended up. Now, it was rather interesting, however, that we got the most number of new listings. Mm. Yes, there were a lot of sales that happened. When I say a lot, in on par with what's been happening in the previous weeks, which is still rather short of what was happening in 2020 anyway. But yeah, you know, we're just talking about the momentum for 2021. That was interesting. So we ended up with the, in terms of volume, overall volume, we ended up with a lot more listings across the board than previous weeks to come on market. This week and the following 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks are going to be very interesting. Now, some of the areas, or quite a number of the, a lot of the areas that we've been looking at properties, but one particular pocket, the in out west, the amount of listings haven't come on as what we would have expected them to come on. But I think it's only just a matter of time, and I think people are just holding on, and that's because it's a little bit easier to hold on to properties out in the west than it is in the North Shore, or the, you know, the lower North Shore, or closer, you know, to what we call the hot areas. So I'm a believer that once the stimulus is rolled back, once JobKeeper is rolled back, that's when the pain is really going to start, and we're going to see a climb. Now, that's what I'm hoping for. We, you know, things have been thrown in at the economy. Things have been, you know, come out of left field, right field, from, you know, down below, from up above, from all over the place. We've just been getting battered, and all sorts of money's been thrown at these pandemics and all this and the issues that we've been going through. But you know what, Martin? I think the tide is turning, and the sentiment, as you said, is turning, because agents, their speech isn't as active or as enthusiastic as what it was even 2 weeks ago. Now we're chasing some auctions for our clients this week, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens on the day as we actually participate at these auctions.
That is interesting, and you know, even within families, I'm detecting some interesting cracks appearing. So, for example, I was chatting to one couple this last week. The wife is a little bit nervous and concerned about what's happening with regard to property in and around Melbourne, and saying, you know, probably better to wait, see what happens, etc. So she's following the, you know, the rant mantra of be cautious, be careful, right? The husband's saying, oh, you know, everyone's buying, maybe we should buy, we might miss out. And it was really interesting just talking with them about trying to really understand what it was that was driving that divergence of opinion. And, you know, it's interesting how each of them had an opinion which in its own right was coherent. But if you stood back and think and thought about it, with the overall level of uncertainty with regard to the vaccines, with the JobKeeper, JobSeeker, you know, dying away, with some of the other issues, you begin to realise that, you know, maybe there's a reason to be a bit more cautious rather than be piling in and just grabbing at any price.
Well, and what happens, what I've noticed that's been happening, Martin, is that a lot of the pundits out there that are, you know, throwing the paddles up in the air like crazy, I have noticed that a lot of them are competing with people that are in the industry. When I say people that are in the industry, well, I'm talking about people that would otherwise be building duplexes or triplexes or small strata developments. Now that they don't have an appetite for that, but now they're coming in to renovate and flip homes and in good areas. So they get caught up in the emotion. The mums and dads get caught up in the emotion, or the people that haven't done the research get caught up in the emotion, which is what I saw at Pymble West, or West Pymble, on the Saturday. It was an interesting auction. First and foremost, the agent underquoted the value of the property by something like $300 to $400 per square meter on land alone. Now, I called it. I said the property will get sold for 2.1 plus the value of the home, and the property actually got sold for $2,356,000. Now, at the end, it was a family that got emotionally tied up and going toe-to-toe with a flipper or a builder that would be renovating, extending it, and perhaps get or renting it out. I don't know what the full strategy is. But that's what I saw, and that's what I'm seeing a lot is happening out there. There are some good properties that lend themselves to that, because they're beyond people's reach in terms of a quick makeover or something. There's some structural issues. There's a lot more that goes on. But then when the families or the pundits that haven't done the research, the people that are falling for all the noise or they don't hear logic because of the noise that's around them, because of you must get in, it's going to get worse, it's only going to, properties are going to go revalued by 10 to 30% over the next 3 years and so forth. Yeah, they fall into these traps. Now, stepping back a little bit more on this property, Martin. Now, some people may say, well, that's a hot price. But when you start breaking it down, the block of land was 987 square meters, thereabouts, call it 1,000 square meters, relatively good land to extend on and to build on. And the property itself, you could extend on that, you could go up, you could go back, because it had a big backyard and so forth. You could do a lot with that property. So there's an inherent value on the dwelling itself. I thought, as is, the dwelling would be worth anywhere between $175,000 to $250,000 as a building on its own. Now, the thing is, Martin, is that when you start breaking it down logically into square meter values and attributes or inclusions such as the dwelling, nowadays it's costing $150,000 to build a two bedroom granny flat, let alone a three bedroom house, albeit a little bit dated, but it was a decent home. So when you start breaking it all down like that, what I got back to was 2020 values of second half of 2020 values. The difference was that in the second half of 2020 in this area, agents weren't as ballsy to underquote as what they are now. That's the difference. And that was the only difference I saw.
Very, very interesting, Edwin. And it's consistent with other reports that I've had. So this whole issue of underquoting, I've got something like 20 or 30 emails from people over the last week, all of which were saying precisely the same thing. Underquoting is rife. So what we've been saying for the last few weeks is absolutely right. And you've got to ask the question, why are people doing it? Well, they're trying to drive the market up. They're trying to drive people into the market. They're trying to get them to extend further than perhaps they, could comfortably be, which takes us nicely onto the psychology of auctions, doesn't it? Because essentially the problem you've got is that, particularly in an auction situation, some people do get a bit carried away.
You do, and you need that in order to achieve the values that they're achieving now. And there is a certain percentage attributed to the emotion. I call it the emotional value that people place when they go in there. They get caught up in the emotion. They don't set the boundaries. They don't set the top end boundaries so that they don't breach it and they don't stick to it. And look, I've had clients try to fight me for the paddle, try to take it off me so that they can continue bidding, and I've had to stop them. I kid you not. And I said, you get your partner on the phone and you get them to agree that we are, that it's being extended by an extra 10 or 20,000, however much more you want to pay for the, go up. Because otherwise, I'm not budging. That's what we said, and that's what I'm holding on to. And then afterwards, they've apologized and they've said to me, "Oh, look, I'm sorry, I just got caught up. This beast got a hold of me, Martin. This beast got a hold of me. He was like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and he wanted to take off."
Well, that's what I was really saying in that a post that I made the other day on the philosophy of property auctions, right? And it was actually research that has been done to demonstrate how people get carried away. You start out sensibly with a center of gravity and a view of what the price is, but you get swept up, and quite often you then live to regret it later. And now you develop this a bit further, because you've actually identified some different types of people, animals, that are actually you can spot at the auction site. We might just go through some of those. I think they're quite fun.
Well, you mentioned on the video, you mentioned about the animalistic or the animal behavior in the auctions, or the characters characteristics. So, you know, I come up with my own. I mean, the first one is the dingbat. You know, the dingbat is the pundit that believes that everything the selling agent says is gospel, and they go along with it. I mean, I've seen some real dingbats out there, and you know, we're
you mean the agent's always right?
Oh. Yeah, you know, it's exactly the agent that they consider the agents to be saints.
Yeah,
Richardson and Wrench and Saint L.J. Hooker and Saint Star Partners, whatever McGrath.
Right, and I'll add to that, Edwin. They believe that the agent's working in their own interests.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. They do. Yep. They do believe that the agent is trying to help them out.
Yep.
What they're trying to do is trying to help them of their money. That's what they're trying to do. Trying to fleece them a lot more.
Yeah. So I've got this vision of, you know, open your wallet, help yourself.
Or yeah, I was going to say, show me your checkbook, but 70% of our viewers wouldn't even know what a checkbook is.
No, that's right. Okay. So the dingbats, I get. Yes, okay.
And then there's the goose. Yeah, the goose is the bidder that relies on the agent's building and pest report. It's just there's no two ways about it.
Right, and we've covered that, and there are a lot of those who actually, again, trust that report and think, oh, well, if that's what it says, it must be right.
Yeah, well, look, the thing is that, see, it's a little bit different from the dingbat, because the dingbat is 100% committed. You know, to having there's a sainthood over the real estate industry. Yeah, you know, they're going to sit in. They're not going to go to purgatory. They're going to go straight to heaven, and they're going to go, you know, sit at the right inside of Saint Peter, I guess. Now the goose actually thinks the real estate agents are, you know, somewhat dodgy, but they will trust the building and pest report that the agent gives them, because they believe that it's, you know, at arm's length. That's the goose.
I love it. Plenty of geese about, quack, quack, or whatever the hiss, hiss, or whatever the noise geese make.
And then there's the bunny. The bunny is the bidder that believes in fairies and ethical auction campaigns.
There are plenty of those around.
Well, yeah, and you know, if and then of course there's the dragon, and the dragon, it's just a bit of that that made a lot of money elsewhere, and I won't get too much into where and where they come from, but they just want to burn, and they burn everybody on the way through. So you got to stay away from the dragon. stick close to the dingbat. run when you see the dragon. Just run, Martin, run.
And that's really, really important, right? Because there's a serious point here, right? If you're not careful, logic dissipates, emotion takes over, and you can end up absolutely regretting a decision that you've made, and you've, you know, gone way higher than you expected. And I see this quite often.
Look, and this is the thing that I tell a lot of our clients, and that is that there almost comes a point where you got to stop trying to chase. Stop chasing somebody with deeper pockets. What's the point? What's the point of inflating the price of the property when you know you're not going to get it? You know you're not going to. If you've done your research, and particularly if you know who you're bidding against, if you can identify them, you don't know. Now the dragon could be a cashed up builder that wants to, you know, keep the work crew. You know, moving on, ticking along, because when they're not working, he's still paying them. They're still getting paid, and so he keeps them going. Or they've moved on to other areas. So if they don't keep the work crew going, they will lose them. And it takes a lot of time and money to get a good team to work alongside of you, and you know, to look after your projects when you are. Busy. So when you're not busy, you look for these sort of deals. You look for these things that are going to, they're basically buying themselves a job and make some money on the other end, if not pay wages and obviously pay themselves as well, the builder's fees, without getting into too much detail. Mm. Now, of course, you got to stay away from these people. There's no point in chasing it. They will always burn you. And you're, all you've just done is you've just inflated the values of the properties in the area which you want to buy into. What for? This I say to people. What for? Why chase them? And I've noticed in a lot of auctions that I've attended over the years, I can almost tell you when we cross over that threshold of logic and reason to emotion. And it's absolutely fascinating, Mark. If I only had a camera rolling 100% of the time, and if I could only put out movie after movie of the crazy shit that I've seen out there at auctions, where I've seen people literally go toe to toe, as though they were squaring off to a Muay Thai fight or a K1 fight or a boxing fight. It's absolutely insane stuff. And I've seen their partners do it, and then and it's almost like they're gonna eventually hit each other with the babies that they're holding on their hands. It's absolutely fascinating. But there is a time. So that's why I found your video really interesting in how you break it down, and I was just that whole imagery was going through my mind, and I could almost, it's almost like, yeah, this is it. This is where the switch is thrown, and you get emotion comes in, and it's just absolutely. I don't want to belittle anyone, but for me, it's absolutely fascinating, comical, hilarious, all at once, and it's rather uncanny.
Well, it is, and you know, it can switch, as you say, quite quickly. But then, actually, winning at any price is actually the name of the game, right? So, you know, you find somebody there who's going to get that property, whatever price, however high you go, you know, way above any logic in terms of where the value may be. And so the antidote to that is to know what your limit is and never go above it.
Yeah, look, Mark, I could tell you some, I can tell our viewers some stories. One in particular is where I was involved. I wasn't acting for anybody, but I was just participating by being present at an auction this many years back, where there were three developers going toe to toe, and two of them just wanted to burn the other developer, and they did. They burned him. He ended up with he won. He thought he got a great deal, but when you did your numbers, when you worked them backwards, it was a lemon, because by the time you got your DA, by the time you did your you built whatever you thought you were going to build on there, the numbers just didn't stack up. And you know, long term, the only way out was to keep. But the two developers knew that this new kid on the block didn't have the money to sustain the development, to hold long term, had to sell and burn a big hole in his backside.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the point I want to get across, and I keep saying it. You know, you might make a decision on the day, whatever you do financially and, you know, psychologically, you're stuck with it. You're stuck with it for weeks, months, years afterwards. And in fact, if you make the wrong financial decision and buy the wrong property, it's going to haunt you for a generation.
Yeah. And look, and things, the other thing that a lot of people don't get, don't understand, is that councils change a lot of their regulations very frequently. And so, they get told, they get misled into saying, oh, yeah, well, you can extend, you can build, you can do this. And, of course, they're the bunnies that believe everything the agents tell them. And by the time you do your research, you find out that, one, it's a heritage-listed property. You can't even paint the fence the colour that you want to paint it. You got to paint the specific colour and you got to match to what's there. I mean, this is the stuff that I'm saying. People just don't do the research. And then they find out, they get emotional. And I was I actually bid at a property last year in Chatswood where the winning bidder wasn't even aware that of the covenant over the heritage covenant over the property and what they could do, couldn't do. And we knew that, myself and the other bidder that were participating, we knew that they weren't aware, because we were the only ones that made the inquiries in council, and the council said, you're the only ones that have made these inquiries. So you can see the level of that, and why? Because they believe the agent. Again, foreigners that believe the agents, and they believe everything that the agent tells them, and they get caught out. Now, in their minds, I can imagine they probably thought they could knock it down and build a two-story mansion on there, and and lo and behold, that's it. And what you see is what you get, and you can't even renovate the bathrooms without seeking council permission.
Absolutely. Due diligence, and more due diligence, and particularly visiting the council. The other thing that I do quite often with people is to see whether they've actually looked at the flood zoning. It amazes me how many people buy in low-lying areas and didn't even think to look at the flood zoning.
No, and not only look at the current flood zoning, but look at the historical zoning.
Yep.
Like you've got the likes of Schofields, parts of Box Hill, you've got parts of Rouse Hill, and out towards Windsor, and some areas out there that at one stage they were graded as 1 in 50 and 1 in 25.
Yep.
And now you look at the rezoning, it says 1 in 100. Yeah, 1 in 100. You own pigs fly, and typically when you see the times, obviously we're a lot older than a lot of our viewers, but in my time I've seen those areas flooded probably 4 times over, where you can't get in and out of the bloody places. Mm. And yet you see these homes that are now worth one, or they've been sold for $1.2-1.4 million on 450 square meters. Absolutely mind-boggling.
I'll tell you a story, Edwin. Locally here, there was quite a large block of land that flooded consistently for several years, and it actually carried the 1 in 25, 150 or whatever it was, right? So it was basically zoned as a flood zone. And then, blow me, 5 years ago, it was rezoned, right? And now they've got buildings on it, right? Well, nothing else has changed.
Well, I reckon, was there an Aldi center built around there as well? And that somebody got to use the Aldi.
Well, funny, it might not have been that, but it might have been another large development, all part of it. Yeah, it was very interesting and a little bit suspicious, shall I say. But now there are a number of properties that are actually built there, right, that are built on land which we know will flood.
And this is what I'm saying. Don't look at just what's on the what's current. Look at the historical. Yep. And you only have to, this is, as I drive around, and from time to time, our clients come with us and we drive around together and we show them, and we're able to explain to them. And you only have to look at the way the land is shaped, the topography of the land. You only have to show that when you're there, you can show them and you can see the natural causeways and waterways and they get an idea. And it's interesting. But like you said, Martin, if you don't do the research, well, then they're going to come unstuck. And
absolutely.
then if you believe the agent, you're definitely going to come unstuck if you don't do your own research and you don't adopt measures to protect yourself. And this is what we were saying earlier on. There's a lot of noise, and unfortunately, that noise is purposeful. And the purpose of that noise is to distract you from reality. And reality now. With one of our clients in the Shire, one of my clients, personal clients in the Shire, we were walking around and we looked at a property that had about probably at about 20. It was the first open, and you had about 25, possibly 30 groups of people come through. By the time we were in and out of there, we saw about 20, 25. And speaking with the agent, he said that there was a large number. So I guess there was the 25 groups of people that went through. Now, a lot of them, I know that it's just the hype. People are just interested to see what's going on, what's there, how many of them are genuine buyers. That's another story for another day. But what I was showing to my young client was that the fact that right behind this property is this great big staunch, electrical staunch, high voltage wire. And I said, look, this property may be popular now, because people are looking, the vision is looking down or looking at the property as opposed to high or to the sides, what's built next to me, behind me, and what's above me. But that matters if you have to sell, because of some demise that you might be might happen. You might be relocated interstate, whatever, and the market isn't as perceived to be as hot as what it is now. That is when trouble happens. That is why I say to all our clients, we try and help you buy with an upside. Either buying somebody else's renovation at a reduced price, looking at a property from an angle that many don't look at properties, and help you to add value to the property so that if something happens, you can mitigate your loss, or you can get out safely and comfortably. And now a lot of people say, oh, but nothing's going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months, property's only going to go up. Who says? Who knows? And but you've got to buy, and you make money when you buy, not when you sell. So if you take these steps and you approach things with caution, you know what, you're going to get close to the best decision that you would make, because part of it, on top of it, is emotion, and that's something that some people will pay a premium for. We always pay. I mean, I say that I don't become emotional when I buy, but you know what, at the end of the day, we do. There is a little bit of emotion, so we just got to filter through all that.
And just to add to that, Edwin, I don't know whether you've noticed, but there were a couple of articles over the weekend. Clancy Yates, for example, wrote an article saying, well, ANZ analysts are now wondering whether, in fact, mortgage rates might be going up sooner than people expected because of the recent bond shenanigans. And Tarek Brooker wrote in news.com as well, along similar lines, saying, you know, all this expectation about really ultra low rates, maybe it's overcooked. And of course, I remind people that the Reserve Bank modeling from a few years ago said that, well, if mortgage rates drop 100 basis points over 3 years, prices go up 30%. The reverse would also be true. If mortgage rates went up 100 basis points, over the following 3 years, prices would drop 30%. So I think, again, it's worth just being a little bit cautious with regard to some of those transactions now, because I suspect that we may have seen the dip at the bottom in terms of rates, and maybe the next move will be up.
Well, that is an interesting side, and Tarek does put out some good stuff out on Twitter and on his feed, and he researches a lot there, which is sobering. But also, I was speaking to Lindsay David, and he was reminding me over the weekend of the fact that the oil prices are going up, and sooner than later, those costs are going to have to be passed on to the consumer, to the wholesalers, the retailers, and the consumer. So even if interest rates didn't go up, the cost of living is going up. As I keep on saying, Martin, you know, I've stopped eating carrots. I can't afford to eat carrots anymore. You know, I really can't. It's, you know, not at $4.99 a kilo, you know, apart from the fact that there's no nutritional value in a carrot, but I used to love carrots. I used to love carrot juice, but I just can't afford it, Martin. It's, I've got to go back to the tequila and stretch that out with some tonic water, because the cost of living is just going through the roof.
Certainly.
In all seriousness, it is going through the roof. You go out, took some clients out, ordered some steaks, and ordered some fish and chips and everything. Two things that we noticed. The portions were, we all thought that they were half the size of what we would have gotten 12 months ago.
Right.
One. And secondly, I think 60% of us that were present at that meeting had some sort of form of food poisoning the next day, because a lot of the food and a lot of the stuff is being stored, and you sort of wonder now what's being served. Things aren't getting better. They're getting worse and costlier, Mum.
No, I agree. And I see that in my surveys too, the cost of living, you know, most people saying it's going up. Now, let's just go then to the last area. You've got some very interesting gossip, right, from selling agents and from the WeChat groups.
Well, and I'll be really quick with this one. So, we had some meetings over the weekend with with some of our WeChat chatter groups. These are investors that have been playing. These are Chinese developers, builders, share investors. They invest in shares, and also they are fund managers in with these in the WeChat chatter groups. And, you know, it was rather interesting conversations as to what they were doing with the money. And it's, you know what, it was sobering to listen and to them, and they were talking with great enthusiasm, which is what you and I have been talking about for months, as to that shift of the world from, you know, from the one asset class to another. And, you know, 90% are looking for the prime real estate to park the money in, because they reckon they're going to be parking the money there for the next 10, 17, 15, 17, 20 years, Martin. For them, it's a long haul, and they are prepared to lose money on selling the apartments. And another group that were predominantly buying big homes that were converting them into illegal boarding houses, as I call them, as you and I call them, that they're offloading those. And they're offloading those to the local pundits, the local families that have got this fear of missing out. And these are in the western suburbs of Sydney, homes that can't rent out as they were being used to rent it out room per room, and they're obviously not getting the money back, the return that they were getting, you know, over 12 months ago. They've lost those incomes, and now they're going to put them on the market, and they're going to realise a small margin on top of what they paid in order to cover for the stamp duty, because they are going to then move that money into prime real estate areas. So there are some pockets of Sydney that are going to stay relatively attractive for that community. So that was one side of the coin. The other one was a group of Chinese builders and developers that were teaming up with local Chinese families, cashed up families that are looking at combining their efforts and being involved with flipping properties. So this is what I say: when you confront these people at auctions, don't get it toe to toe with them, because they've got different ideas, and they're not necessarily on selling to the local everyday Joe. They're selling to a specific and exclusive market that they believe, like you and I've been talking about, and that is the high net worth individuals, Chinese families that are looking at obtaining PR, that are based in America, England, and wanting to come over to a safe haven. Now, they are prepared to lose money over in America and potentially lose money also in England in migrating over here. But these are people that are in the medical field, because they're not necessarily looking at what they're going to lose over there. They're looking at what they're going to gain over here, which is safety, which is security, and a safe living environment for their children. And I dare say that this, it's not only just these families that are looking at all this, but I'm sure there are a lot of other families that are looking at Australia, because we are a very, very unique nation, and we are tempting to a lot of people overseas. So that's what was happening. The third chatter, or perhaps more in line with my third discussions, was with your everyday real estate officers. And this was rather interesting, Martin. This is what we've been talking about as well, with regards to how much pain the industry is in. And I'll just run down some figures here. So I spoke to a number of individuals involved in different offices, predominantly in the West, in the Northwest region. One office has 4 selling agents, 0 sales, no listings the last 2 months. Another office has 300 agents, or more than 300, selling agents, most of them are working on commission base, but about 20-30% are employed, but a lot of them are going to be being told they're going to be drop kicked once JobKeeper gets rewound. So they've got 2,500 listings on their books, but guess what? Most of them, almost 99% of them, are apartments, and they're finding it very difficult to sell. The third office that I was speaking with, they have 3 selling agents, 2 listings, and holding 6 selling agreements. And these families, or the people that own these homes with these 6 selling agreements, signed selling agreements, they don't want to put it on the market because they are still waiting for the mainstream media to call the top of the market before they go to market. So these are potentially 6 families that are going to lose out unless they list quickly. So, and the last office, an individual from the last office, they've got 30 selling agents, This isn't including ancillary stuff. These are just selling agents, yeah? And they've got 87 listings. 70% of those listings are strata listings. So only 30% of the 87 are properties that potentially will sell, and the agents will earn a commission. Now, when I say 30 agents, most of them work on a contract basis, no different to a lot of agencies that are now operating out there. And this brings us back to the thing that I've been pointing on for a while now, and that is that the industry has been under a lot of stress from back as, you know, far back as 2016, 2017, when listing numbers were dropping dramatically. And then we got the what we thought in the beginning of 2020 was the lowest amount of listings. And now it looks like 2021 has carried the lowest amount of listings for the first quarter, I dare say, for a very, very long time. And it's only a wait and see. So the industry is in a lot of strife, Martin. And these are the shifting sands that we've been talking about. So this is just putting it out there to our followers. You know, don't stone me. I'm just the messenger, and I just mix with some people that have got some tales to tell.
Now, very interesting, Edwin. And it's interesting that Frydenberg was reported today to be coming out with various industry-specific packages post the end of Job Seeker and Job Keeper, particularly Job Keeper, right? I don't think the real estate industry will necessarily be on that list. So I think the rubber is about to hit the road, or ducks and whatever from earlier on. Right?
Well, feathers are going to fly. Look, feathers are going to fly. Yeah, it's pedal to the metal, and feathers are going to fly, and you know, all sorts of shit's going to happen.
Absolutely. So I think it'll be very interesting to watch over the next few weeks. And as always, Edwin, very insightful frontline perspectives from you, because you know you've got your finger on the pulse. Very important for people to listen to what you say and act accordingly, because you know, we are in uncertain times. There's a hell of a lot of noise out there, a lot of spruiking, a lot of mismotivation. So there are people doing stuff without people understanding why they're doing what they're doing. And so, again, be cautious, be careful.
As always, Martin, always be cautious, be careful, and reach out for help.
Yeah. Edwin, thanks for your time today, and we'll do it all again next week.
See you next time.
See ya. Take care. Bye-bye.